So I don't even need to type in the password and stuff.
Let's see, we have you on.
Excuse me.
You're the only one
And I did not hear from her.
Look at all you people.
Yes, Bob, thank you for cheering for me.
No problem. And with a little help from Amanda, I was able to get through.
Well, that answers one question. We know whether Ashley's here or not. You know, we have the other Ashley as well.
All right.
Oh.
No, I don't see anybody showing up from the Board of Education yet. So this could be.
I wanted to talk about that one.
Yes. A minute to go, and then I'll call the meeting to order. T minus 10 seconds and counting.
All right. Well, this is Ross Lally, and Chair of the Board of Finance, and I am calling our regular meeting of June 15th, 2023 to order. And I've been told that Jim and Jill will not be present for the Board of Selectmen. And I believe that Pam Sawyer will not be present, or Bob Moore, or any of the selectmen there. I currently do not see anybody from the Board of Education online, and they are not hiding in the town hall office. So it looks like we will not have their representation. As far as members of the Board of Finance who are present, there is myself, Mather is present, Ashley is present, Amanda and Charlie, and online is Bob. So I will also then move on to the next item of agenda is just approval of the agenda. So just ask for a motion to approve the agenda as is.
Motion approved.
And that's from Bob, and Ashley seconded it. Oh, this is just for this meeting. It's not the minutes. This is just like the agenda. So you want to... Okay. Mather second the motion to approve the agenda. And any discussion? All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
What? So everybody who was present voted in the affirmative, so it passes unanimously. So let's go on to the approval of the minutes. So let's take a look at the minutes first for May 18th, the regular meeting.
I make a motion to approve the minutes from May 18th and May 24th as presented.
Second. Second.
Second.
Okay, so we have a second. So Amanda made the motion. Bob Monroe seconded it. Any discussion?
Yeah, I think it was Ashley.
I was just going to say that I'm all abstaining because I wasn't there on the 18th. And do we want to do them separately? I will amend my motion just to be for the minutes on May 18th.
Okay, do I have a second to the amendment?
Second.
All right. So then we have a set. So we're going to just look at the May 18th minutes then. And I just noticed that a Kristen has joined.
Good evening. Sorry that I can't be there in person.
Okay. So then we just have, I just make a note that Kristen Heck joined us at 7:18. Was that Gorley or? It was Gorley?
Yes, it's Kristen Gorley.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that. We'll make a note that it's Kristen Gorley joined at 7:18. Kristen Hecht is still absent. And so, Kristen, what we are doing is looking at the minutes for the minutes for the meeting of the 18th, May 18th, the regular meeting. Yeah, I feel this same way based on memory. And just look briefly at my notes beforehand, and nothing jumped out at me. Any further discussion?
Bob, you're okay?
Yep.
Then I will move to a vote. All those in favor of approving the minutes of the May 18th regular meeting, please say aye.
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 And you were, Ashley, you're going to abstain. So we had affirmative votes from everyone except Ashley, who abstained. So the motion passes. Then let's go on to the minutes for the special meeting. That was of May 24th. I'll entertain a motion to either approve them as is, or we can discuss first. What would you guys like to do?
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes
for May 24th. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
So the motion is made by Amanda, seconded by Ashley. Discussion.
Just one item. In regards to that, I can't look it up at the same time as I have you on Zoom here, but there was comment there by Sue Pike, I think it was in the notes, indicating that as long as she could remember, she'd never seen a referendum approved on the first round. Now, I know that Sue has been in this town for a long time, certainly at least. At least 28 years. And I just wanted to correct that statement. There were two or three in the last like 6 years, additionally. Yeah. Not to diminish really from the fact that we got this, that this was approved on the first round, and it was significant to the extent that it was a big ask. But anyway, I just wanted the board to know, and I think I've mentioned it to the board before, this is not a one-off thing. I mean, you know, we all kind of said, let's have one and done, and that's what happened, and that's great.
I was going to say, Bob, I do notice on the minutes is that I did clarify after she spoke, and it's recorded, it says R. Lowry stated it has happened two times before, but wasn't recently.
Okay, I did not find that. So, I was having a hard time. I'm down the Cape and I'm looking at these.
Yeah. And she wasn't. And Ashley, you're coming. Yeah. Mather? Bob, anything else, sir? Good to go with the rest.
Good to go with the rest.
Okay, then, hearing no further discussion, all those in favor of approving the minutes of the special meeting of May 24th, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. So that one passed unanimously by all those present. So then, moving on to the rest of our agenda. Yeah, I hide my copy thereof with my notes. Next is to, just to clarify anybody for the public and so forth, we do not have anybody here present from the Board of Education or from the Board of Selectmen. So what we could do tonight is any questions or comments on the information that was presented. We can then take it up at our next meeting or funnel them into Jill or to Kristen and they will get back to us.
I have an observation on the Board of Ed submissions that, you know, and you know, I kind of watch that most carefully because that's where most of our money is. I did note that they increased their projection for unspent funds to, I believe it was $190,000. And I think if you just look at the amount of money that's been committed through May and the amount of the budget, and I'm not looking at these numbers, sorry to say, but from recall, I believe that the remainder between now, or that report as of May 31 and the end of the fiscal year, June 30, I believe there's about 1.9 million left. Maybe somebody can do the math real quick there, because I can't see the numbers, but that was my recall.
Let me go. I can share it. Let me go share the screen. And I can go into, and you can tell me where to stop. So I presume we're not interested in the report commentary. You're looking at which page, Bob?
Right at the very end of their numbers. Yeah, back. Keep going to the last page. Yeah, right there.
190,000.
So we've got approved. Okay. Go back to the year-to-date expended 531.23. We're looking at 12 million 385. Is that correct? And
12 million 386.
Okay. It's very small here, and I can't move it.
See what I can do to enlarge that and still keep it on the screen.
You're a good man there, Ross. Thank you. Yeah, there we go. So 12,386, and we have 14,967 in the budget. That leaves 1.6, almost 1.6 million. Now, I know that they have more expenses coming in that last month. But it does look to me as though there'll be additional monies available there at the end of the year. I would think it's probably going to be another couple $100,000 at least.
When you say another, do you mean on top of the 191,000, or do you mean totally?
Yeah,
so it's on top of. So you're thinking then closer to 400,000?
I am.
So you're saying you think their projections for where they're going to be at the end of the year are off.
Yeah, and I know they have a difficult time because they have so many other expenses that occur at the end of the year, including some people who get paid, you know, or on a 10-month schedule instead of 12. I've never really seen, I have no way of really predicting that with just past experience. So I'm just thinking that we're not going to have 1.6 million in expenditures in this last month when you normally are spending about $850,000 to $900,000 a month.
Can I ask a question? This is Kristen, because I don't have the paperwork in front of me. I'm sorry, I'm driving. But if I remember correctly from Casal's summary that she sent to us, aren't they expensed at 82% this year as opposed to 80% last year? And the only reason I bring that up as it pertains to this is that it does seem like there's something that's not jiving, but I don't know. It sounds like we are actually spending more at the moment than we did at least last year. Am I wrong on that?
No. And part of that, as you know, is in the support services area due to just cost of special ed. But the other side of that coin is, I mean, some of this, I don't know it well enough, but some of it can just be timing as to when certain stuff hits. That was Kristen. Certainly you're aware that, you know, sometimes you can have an extra pay period fall in a month or whatever else. And I'm not sure that happened, but it could be something as simple as that would explain that difference. Anyway, that's just my observation for what it's worth. There's still obviously another month to go and numbers to be accumulated, but I just wanted to throw out.
I could certainly refer that to, you know, to Kristen Hecht. It's just like an observation that it appears to, based on looking at the way the numbers are shaping up and understanding that, you know, we still have another month to go. It looks like, you know, there might be a $400,000, a surplus closer to $400,000 than to the current $191,000.
Yeah,
projected. Could she please comment? Because we, you know, we just want some more insight into that observation. You know, you know, how is money, you know, going to be spent? Because it's not always clear, as you said, issues, you know, involving timing and so forth.
Right. And I might add that if you look at the May 22 report, they did revise their projected unspent funds up to like $436,000 at the end of May.
Yep.
So it just kind of sticks out to me, and I'm watching it all the time. So I just wanted to point it out to the board for their information.
Yep. I think it's just a valid question to ask and see what you know, their observations are about it. Any other? When you say by area, because isn't it, what would be different from there? Because I'm looking here and it looks like 190,959, and it is sort of by area up above, no?
Yeah, but to get to like the map for the 400.
Oh. If they projected the next month.
Yeah.
She means. Does anyone remember?
It's just a squeeze, you know.
Does anyone remember what was unexpended last year that they gave back? I think it was around 400.
It was, I believe, in the end, closer to 600,000 when all was said and done.
Oh, yeah, you're right, actually. Because if we're on track with 82% versus last year at 80%, you know, that's pretty close. Then right. If, you know, then it theoretically should be pretty close to what it was last year. So if it was 600. Yeah.
Right. But Matt, you know, the one difference there, Mather, is when you look at the support services, we're looking at a deficit of 230,000.
Right. Yeah. And Kristen's made it clear that this year, at least my sense of it was that it was a lot, there was a lot more cost there this year than last year.
Correct.
So that might be off by a couple hundred thousand even.
Because you would have to assume that all things were equal if you were going to base it on last year, and it's not. Correct. But it's still, I think it's still a good question to ask.
Yeah.
Now, pardon my ignorance, but because they didn't give any money back to us for next year's budget, what happens with their rollover money?
Well, was the end of it? What happens? What?
Well, because they didn't give us any money back for next year's budget, what happens to the
remainder? I thought they did. It's about what, 90,000?
Yeah.
90,000.
No, they didn't give us back. They just reduced. Okay, yes. However, you. They reduced their expenditures.
So they didn't give anything back to be
this year's.
Yeah, because it was because of the insurance.
Right.
Correct.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what happened?
It goes into the general fund. Okay. And then it gets used towards reducing mill rate next year.
Okay.
Yeah. Towards next year's budget. Right.
Okay. Thank you.
The same thing with the Board of Selectmen, any overage that they have that they didn't predict.
There's another fund that they put some money into first.
Oh, yeah.
I forget. There's some fund that they have that they have to, any overage, money comes into. It's used to the general fund.
Yeah, we have the rainy day fund stuff, but some of that comes out of the, contingency.
Yeah.
No, and it's still a good question to ask, and it's just something else to be aware of too. And I've mentioned this before, it's not a surprise, is that the Board of Education budget is a little bit different than the Board of Selectmen's in that theirs is governed by state, you know, by certain state statutes that, you know, their budget for next year starts at what their budget, you know, their approved budget was for this year.
it's not like the Board of Selectmen's budget. So, you know, the Board of Education's budget cannot be significantly reduced unless there's this, I don't know the exact formula, but a significant decline in student enrollment. So the overages have a different effect longer term with Board of Education than they do with Board of Selectmen, because we've just created a new floor for their budget by the amount of this overage. So it's kind of like name your poison. Where do you want, you know, your savings to come from money that gets rolled over next year into next year's budget, reducing the mill rate, or do you want to take it out of a current year? So again, it's a philosophical discussion because you have to pay for all this stuff one way or another, but it's also just different because we cannot make a cut below a certain point with the Board of Education, whereas we don't have that restriction with the Board of Selectmen.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll just say that, like, I'm pretty impressed. I mean, I don't ever expect a budget to come in right at zero, right? And if you look at what they're projecting to be left, even if it is 400,000 or 500,000, you're talking like 3 percentage points of the budget, right? That's pretty small.
Yeah, again,
I would agree with that. I was just pointing it out, not as a criticism at this point, but as just an observation.
Yeah, and it's the same thing what I'm doing now too, is just making that observation about how the budgets are controlled differently. And I shouldn't say controlled, they're handled by different sets of statutes to be correct about it. And some of it comes down to how do you want to do this? And sometimes it's a philosophy, more of a philosophical discussion. It's not right or wrong. It's whether you take it out of this year's budget, then you don't have it next year's surplus. So you save money this year, but then it looks like, oh, gee, now you're raising, you know, the mill rate next year because we didn't have that money roll over from this year. So, you know, you wind up paying the same, but, you know, how do you want to do it? Any other questions for Chris? And again, I can just send this to her and just ask her to reply back through Jill. And again, it's, you know, it would be, you know, no group emails back and forth with her. If you had any individual questions to her, you know, directly, not to the whole team, because then it could be a ad hoc type of meeting.
Yeah, she's not going to really have a response to that until they get to their final numbers. But, you know, just a bunch of what I was saying, if you look at the area above salaries and wages, and you look at the expenditures to date, 10.2 million. So when you're looking at 11 months, that's about $850,000, I think, a month. And the difference between the 10.2 million and our total budget for that area is 2,050,000. That just kind of fleshes out what I was saying.
Right. And there's another way you could do this too, would be to possibly to increase the size of the contingency fund. And then if they run, you know, they run low, then, you know, there's a place to take the money. And again, I don't know the terms that you can take stuff out of the contingency fund, but if this were to be an option, then you would need to make the contingency fund substantially larger. So you still wind up spending the same amount of money. It's just, where do you, you know, put it? And at the end of the day, they still have to stick to their budgets. So,
and they do. I mean, you know, and you know, our whole town, both sides.
Yeah, and I'm agreeing with you, Bob. I'm not saying this is criticism of folks. You can never manage this to the dime or penny. It's
right.
There's too much going on in the background that we have no control over to be able to manage it that tightly. But they do still stay within the budget, which is the key thing. So any other questions on that? I was going to say, if not, we could go on to any questions for town on tax collection and such. Jim And Jill said they had nothing that were watch items at the moment.
Oh, I had a question for you, Ross, on this. So I assume they don't
on have, which
about Jill and Jim.
Okay.
I am assuming that they haven't heard back from the bank on the specifics yet, or on the interest issue.
Jill, I asked Jill about that today since she wasn't going to be here. She said that the bank had presented several proposals to the Board of Selectmen.
Right.
And there were two proposals that the Board of Selectmen debated. One was for a minimum balance of $5 million to avoid fees and an interest rate of 4%, variable interest rate of 4%. The other option that they considered was a minimum balance of $3 million to avoid payment of fees and a 3.5% variable interest rate.
Was there a decision reported? Okay, I'm sorry.
So those were the two options that they considered. Uh-huh. And then at their last meeting, the Board of Selectmen voted to go with the $5 million and the 4%.
Okay.
And Jill felt it would have been, she would have cut it, she would have gone with the other proposal just because she figures it's very easy to go below the $5 million before we, especially like this. The end of this year, beginning of next, before we start actually booking the revenue, that it would be possible to dip below $5 million more easily than it would be the $3 million. And then there's the question of, I don't know if the fees add up to, you know,
right,
the 100% difference. I don't have the information to say yay or nay. And when I asked her, she didn't either. She just said this was, you know, her gut feeling based on how she sees the funds, right, our fund balances going.
I'm sorry. Did anybody, did Jill indicate by chance anything that, what is the going to be the controlling factor on this variable rate? I mean, example, the Fed met and left the rates as they are for the month of June. I think speculation, I think with some reason, and statements that the Fed has made that they anticipate probably at least two more 0.25% increases during this next several months. So as an example, then that's why I wonder about, you know, was there any definition to the variable rate and what drives it? If indeed it goes up another 0.5%.
Yeah, like, is it based on the federal funds rate? You know, what is it, what is it based on? I did not ask her, so I cannot say, and I know we had asked before and they were not aware, but I can just ask her again.
If you could, it'd be good.
Yeah, I think it's a good question because that would help with planning purposes, because if you know what, you know what index it's based on and you have an idea of what direction that interest, that index is going and when, that would help with, you know, better with some of our planning.
Yeah.
Yes, Amanda.
I was going to say that this question of how much money you have in the bank and when has come up quite a few times. And it's actually something that's pretty easy to answer. I mean, so it would be nice to see, like from the monthly statement, the average running daily balance from the last one or two years, right? So we can see when it dips below and how far, and it shouldn't be too hard to.
So I'll ask for that too. So one thing is, what index is their variable interest rate based on from our banking partners? And the other is, could you just give us a like a running monthly balance of, you know, our funds? Mm-hmm. So that would help us better understand and be, again, that's other valuable information for this current board to know. And I think the future committee as well.
Mm-hmm. So is there an agreement that was proposed and not yet signed, or?
Jill said it's all signed. The selectman did it. She said she just spent a horribly long time signing it all.
Okay.
All the required documents. Yeah, so it should be in there, one would hope. So I will ask.
Yeah, well, hey, we're better off. than we were before.
Oh, I think we're definitely better off. And I'm sure another controlling factor is our keeping an eye on it, and the future finance committee keeping an eye on it and calling our banking partners to task, as you know, per your suggestion, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed to have an effect regardless of what our agreement with them was and whatever index was being used.
Yeah, you might recall they said, oh, yeah, we're going to double it to 1%.
We could, like, send it up before we even talk to you. So, again, you know, I'm sure it's, some of it is because, as you know, we're saying that, you know, they have a better idea of how we are as a financial partner. And some of it also just comes down to just pushing when it's appropriate. So they obviously had some wiggle room. So again, we just, you know, we should keep an eye on it, and our future finance committee should do the same thing. So I just think it's just important to have a more active role in it the way we've been doing. Anything else on the town side?
No, I look at these balance sheets and I see the projections and everything else, and I don't see, what I don't see is, for example, a lot of unfunded items that came through. For example, obviously the things that bothered us this past year, the interest, that's going to be a short thing. I look at the shared services, the assessor.
Which one are you looking at? I'm sorry.
Wilmington, I'm assuming. I'm just wondering when we get these payments for some of these grants, when are they going to show up? Is it going to be the end of June?
Right. Good question.
So, you know, $108,000 from all the grants, donations and things to the Board of Education. I'd like to know that they're coming, or to what degree, and we don't have those answers with these reports. So
it's timing of some of the revenues, and whether it's interest or grants.
Or shared services, or, and obviously we're not going to get the interest, like, to make up that shortage. But we've had another items that have been excess of what was expected, so I think that almost balances it off. But
yeah,
on the other hand, we've got money that just don't show up.
This also, and when you mentioned that also reminded me, like, getting back to that comment on the banking partnership, because that affects the balance that we have. And that is another reason that Jill would have preferred the lower rate. But one of the selectmen suggested, well, the Board of Education and the Board of Selectmen can just reduce their spending for the summer, which is when all the work gets done at the schools because the students are not there, which is when we do a lot of road work. And you don't really have that option necessarily to defer some of these expenditures to later in the year, because you just can't do some of the road work in the winter, and you can't do a lot of this work in the schools when the students are there. So I think about the only thing you might be able to do would be defer some of the hiring, but she said also we have our bond payments that come due during the summer and so forth.
Right.
So again, there's like a lot of moving pieces that fit into this, and just helping to see that balance, I think, by the month, because then that would at least give us questions like, why is it lower here? What, you know, what is driving that? Is it expenses or revenue or a combination that our balance, you know, does what it does? And it actually would be good if I could get it from her for more than 1 year. So if we could go back to 5 years, perhaps, so that you could just see if there's certain patterns that just, you know, repeat regardless.
I would think they could even just add a timing column to this report that says whether payments come in quarterly or what month they generally come in, or, you know, like, it's not, we don't want to make it super hard, but
I'm sure they know all that.
Right.
So we don't.
Because she tells.
Yeah,
it would be nice, yeah. Yeah. If you write it down once, then you don't have to do it for any future board. You know what I mean? So long as nothing changes, right?
I'll just mention that too, because then it's a little more you do, but you're just doing it once as opposed to we just keep asking.
Right. Or when new people join a board and have questions, right?
Jill was also hypothesizing that we may have, because of the increased mill rate and just where people's financial situations are, that, you know, she doesn't have any direct evidence, but she just hypothesized there's a possibility that the collection rate on taxes may be lower. So again, just something to keep an eye on. Again, just because of the two reasons. One, we just increase the amount that people owe. And then the fact that the economy isn't doing that well and jobs and so forth. So we got inflation. Well, that's what I'm saying. The economy may be moving along, but you got inflation and wages don't necessarily keep up with the inflation. Any other questions? Again, I'll just make a note of this, send a note to Jill and to Kristen, so at least they will know that the board is interested.
I don't know if we're going to
do transfers. We can do that.
There's a lot going to Rotenfeld,
like $75,000. There we go. Back up to transfers.
They seem to be transferring it from other areas, but I wonder if there's a general store.
These look like they're funds from other items that weren't fully utilized. Mm-hmm. So they look like they may be taking advantage of getting the road work done.
Okay. Yeah, I wonder if they moved a project from next year into this year. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it's the same thing you look at.
I'm not aware of any emergencies out there where roads failed.
But they took from tree trimming, which I think I remember Jim Rupert saying months ago that had decreased. And from sand, salt and sand, which makes sense.
Yeah, the tree trimming, I know that they're able to reduce because they're basically partnering with Northeast Utilities to get trees trimmed that Northeast Utilities would be doing anyway.
Yeah. Maybe they had some extra money in some areas that they decided to do something. I don't know.
Again, that would be a good question. Because I'm also seeing some transfers, you know, for Board of Education as well as, you know, the Board of Selectmen.
The one that stands out to me is and this is just because I don't have an update on where the temporary office building stands, but we transferred $5,000 to have electricity connected to the temporary office building.
Two times two.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like
$10,000. But it says funds needed to have the electricity connected, so they want to have it ready to pay.
There's nothing that I have heard about the building anytime soon, because the last thing that they formally said about it was they were going to have it at the beginning of June. It would be then configured, if you recall, and then ready for people to move in by July. And as you can see, there's nothing sitting out there. But, you know, but then again, to Mather's point is there's some work that they do after it arrives, and then there's some that they have to do before it arrives. So they can get the lines, you know, put in and ready to be connected, disconnect whatever they don't want to have connected anymore in that half of the building and so forth.
And if it's coming soon, it makes sense. If it's going to be
I don't know. I have no idea when it's coming, but there is stuff that's
supposed to be here by now.
Yeah, I know it's supposed to be here, but it isn't. And I don't have any more details than what I just said, other than I know it's been delayed again, but I have no ETA or anything additional. No, but it's a question that we can ask for update on trailer. trailer slash temporary office space. Well, I keep I refer to it as the trailer park. It works when you start talking about it that way because it makes it sound less appealing.
Very close to that,
which is then I won't pay as much in taxes because I'm not planning to sell. But no, but sometimes one shouldn't always try to find the politically correct or the nice way of saying things.
I'm in agreement with your wording there. I trailer park is fine.
I have other words that I use to describe things down there, but I won't say them here while we're being recorded. But they also help with moving things along. Any other questions on any of the town updates or such? So I have my notes that I will send off to folks. Bob, you all set?
I am.
Mather?
I'm good.
Charlie, Amanda? Okay, then we can move on to our ongoing business and discussion regarding the RFP for the auditor. So I did talk to Jill about that. She said she has completed the RFP and gave it over to Jim, and that it is basically the same terms as our current contract with our current auditor, just that there would be different dates for it and different, you know, amounts depending on, it's basically the same services. And then it's just a matter of the timeline and so forth and whatever the responses come back as. So regarding this, she said, we have two options with this. We could move ahead with the RFP, which doesn't give us much time to consider things and to review and approve for the, you know, next fiscal year. And then that would also, for this year, it doesn't give us much time. And the other option is to extend the contract with our current auditor.
The charter allows for that?
Yes.
The current charter?
I think we may have already extended it once.
I don't recall whether we did or not, but she said it's allowed under the charter.
Okay. The guy's done an absolute incredible job for us. And he has saved us a lot of money over what would happen when we normally would go out to bid, unless, you know, he chose to bid again. But if he wants to keep going, again, like I say, he's done an incredible job for a good price. And I would encourage, if we could extend it, I would say do it. Otherwise, hopefully get an assurance from him that he will bid.
So I can give you the figures that she had. They had already discussed the contract with him and he had come back with a figure, same terms as the existing one, same services. Mm-hmm. And so here's the other thing to consider too. If we got a new auditor in to do 2023, the current year's budget, then they would probably charge more to do that because they have their setup costs because they mm-hmm. do not have access to all the information, the history and that. So there would be additional costs over just simply extending it. And, you know, has to be within what our, you know, we've budgeted, but then it still would be a matter of some more money would be available to return to the general fund.
We'd have to provide space for them.
And extra time for Jill and all that other stuff. So let me give you the figures. So what we have allocated for in the fiscal year 2024 budget, Jill just sent me this stuff, so I didn't have time to send it out, but the amount we have budgeted for fiscal year 2024 is $45,000. That was the worst case scenario. So if we did an RFP, their responses need to come back, you know, more or less within that. So our current auditor said that he would do a one-year extension for a total of $30,500. And that town's portion of that would be $25,000. And apparently Bolton Lakes also pays towards a portion of that, and they would pay $5,500. So that's where you get the $30,500 from. So those are really the two options to consider. And if we wanted, we could approve the going with the, you know, the current, you know, with extending the current order. We could do it tonight, require a motion, a second, and a vote of approval on it. And then they would go ahead with that. We would then still do the RFP, but we would be covered for the audit for 2023. And then we would have more time to get an auditor into place to do the 2024 audit. Yeah, she said I asked her about that too. Do we need to push it off? She said no, it would be better to do it now, because then you have that much more time to evaluate it and get the person into place and get them set up so they're not rushing at the end of next, you know, fiscal year to do this year's, you know.
No, yeah, I think we'll be hard pressed if we go out to an RFP to come in anywhere near that number.
Excuse me, Bob. I'm sorry.
I think that if we went out for a request for proposals, and he's willing to charge us, or wants to charge us, what, $30,000? I think he said
$30,500.
We would be really. There's no way we would get anything that low. There's no way, in my opinion.
That was her opinions, and Jim's is just based on their experience and what the market is like and talking to some other towns, you know, some, what do they pay? And they felt that this was a reasonable amount, and it gives us more time to put an RFP out, more time for responses to come in, more time for us to evaluate it, and whether we choose or make a recommendation to the finance committee and leave, you know, let them decide, you know, we have that, you know, further options down the road as well. I just think the more we can do to help get things ironed out in advance for the finance committee when they take over, is because they're going to have enough trouble just getting organized, figuring out how to do things and who's in charge and all that stuff, because new players in a new system. So the more that we can hand off to them cleanly, I think it's a better, you know, transition. So again, you know, thoughts on this. So those are the two options, basically going with the RFP, or we go with the extension and then do the RFP as well.
Motion to approve the extension of the present auditor, Mr. Hopkins, for an additional year.
So that was Bob making the motion to extend the contract for the current auditor at a cost of $30,500 for the year. And continue with the RFP, Bob?
Yeah, they're actually two separate questions, I think.
Okay. We can handle them separately.
Right, because he just may offer us additional extensions beyond that. And I'm not sure if there's any requirement to say that we, you know, must go out with an RFP. But
there isn't, but there's, so let's get a second on this. Let's stop the discussion. Let's get a second, and then we can have this discussion. It's a very good discussion. So then Charlie just seconded the motion to extend the current auditor's contract. So now we can do this discussion.
I think it's a single question, actually. I think we're saying do the extension along with doing the RFP, not making it a separate issue.
That was Jill's recommendation. Her recommendation was to handle it as you said. I mean, we can get there either with one question, or you can get there with two.
I've seen this happen in the past with different communities, and it really smooths out the flow of operations, because it gives the town the ability to have an audit in place while at the same time an auditor in place as well as examining. We may not want the same auditor next year, and we may want someone that's come in with opening up a new shop that'll give us a fantastic deal. Or we may want something that's a little, someone comes in and opens our eyes as to something that the town has been missing and present us an opportunity.
Yeah, and I guess alternatively, he could always come in and make a proposal anyhow that's going to end up coming in way lower than everyone else. So yeah, I would agree with
that. Yeah, and I would hesitate to consider just extending him indefinitely year after year after year, just for the point of view of due diligence. And the same thing is with our banking partners. It's great to have a good established relationship, but it's also very good to check.
Yeah. The only thing is this current auditor has continued to highlight certain things and not really addressing them. So he has had some confidence.
I will say that I don't know if this committee can choose the auditor for FY24, because the new charter does specify that the finance committee shall appoint it. And I don't know if we would be grandfathered in as the board of finance. So we may have to let the finance committee choose it. And then they can
process.
Yeah. So that's fine.
We could make a recommendation and then they could do what they want, which is what I would kind of want to do anyway.
And then in terms of extending that contract, the new rules are they shall not exceed 4 years and shall not extend more than 1 year beyond the regularly scheduled election for the office of first election. So they definitely can strengthen the new
contract. Yeah.
Somebody just invited me over to watch Sunset. I said I'd come over.
Ross, I have a question as we're discussing this. Do we have a separate ongoing document for some of these handoff items? Because I definitely think this is one of them for a few reasons. First off, we've been discussing this for months and, you know, now we're at the stage of where we're just going to extend it, whether it's the right thing or wrong thing to do or not. I mean, we had discussed this for months and we didn't see much action on it. But do we have some type of an ongoing separate document?
No, but I think it's a good thing based on this conversation. So what I could do is ask, how do we do this? Do we send them into Jill and Jill gives the suggestions to me? Or do you just bring them to the next meeting and we record them? Or we could just do it now.
I'd like to move the question because I have to get off.
So why don't we just take the vote on this then? And then we can talk about some of these other things separately. So then I will entertain since we have a motion and a second, I will entertain a vote on the extension, 1 year extension of our current auditor. So all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Then it passes unanimously by all those present.
Okay. And I'm going to have to take off and say goodnight, everybody.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Good night, Bob.
Good night. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. Okay.
So then I would also entertain just to follow up on what Charlie did, because this motion was specific to the auditor's extension, just to acknowledge that we should proceed with the RFP. So I would entertain a motion that we proceed with the RFP process for another auditor.
So
Amanda made the motion. Ashley seconded it. Discussion. No need to look on the screen anymore since Bob has left. Well, Kristen's still here, but she doesn't have a screen.
I have my phone. I can pull it up.
Okay. So I'm not hearing any further discussions. So then all those in favor of continuing with the RFP process in parallel, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? So that also passes unanimously. So we have new business, which was long-term sustainability of our town budget. And I think that also we can also cover quickly, basically, I think what you're suggesting, Kristen, was that we have some sort of a handoff document. Not really a transition plan, but these are things that the finance committee needs to consider that we have been talking about. So my answer is no. We do not have one that I'm aware of, but yes, we should you know, start one. So then I would ask that you guys make a listing of this, bring it to the next meeting. And that's something else we need to talk about too. Because I saw some head shaking when they were surprised that we were not going to be meeting in July or August. And because that's sort of been the tradition since I've been on the board. And so it doesn't have to continue as a tradition, especially if we have a new process that's coming into place, and it would be good to get some things organized and also set the tone for what we think the Board of Education and the Board of Selectmen should be looking at, because that's something we typically have not done in the past either. It's we turn them loose to their own devices, and then we comment afterwards, as mm-hmm. opposed to saying, you know, giving some guidance. And I don't see any reason why we can't make suggestions. So I guess my question, I talked to Jill about this. She said that we're not budgeted for those, but the main expense is the other Ashley's time or whoever we get to clerk. So if we wanted, there's nothing that prevents having one of us take the minutes for any other meetings, and that saves us $75 for the first hour. And then the rate for the next hour is another $25 to bring it up to 100. So we could save, depending on how long we think these meetings will go, we could save $75 to $100 for each meeting. And
right now, as we have in the past, we just have September and October.
Correct.
Because then the new finance committee would take over in November.
Whatever. I don't know whether they do that or they wait till there's, you know, I'm not exactly sure of the timing on it, but it doesn't leave much time for us to get things wrapped up and turned over.
Directions at the beginning of November, and our meetings might time it out so that we can be new elected people on the finance committee, depending on the date. And I think that's how when we were voted on board, that first meeting was, we were sworn in and we were elected in early November. We served, the first meeting was in that first November.
Correct. So then that would mean that we could be out of business as soon as the October meeting, which would then only mean two meetings.
We'd have to leave our legacy to them.
Yes. So I'm thinking it wouldn't hurt to do a July and or an August meeting. And if we needed to, we could take our minutes ourselves. They just have to be in the same general format that, you know, Ashley has been doing. And if we didn't have a quorum, because not everybody's going to be available, then we could just have an informational meeting for discussion, which I think is mostly what we're going to do, as opposed to making any policy, you know, decisions. And then we could always, based on our discussions that we had, make any policy decisions or formal recommendations by motion in September.
So the meeting board will, their position will start the second Monday following the election.
So then we're out of business in October.
The election is the first Monday following the first Tuesday in the month of
November. That's the first Tuesday following the first Monday.
You said it the other way.
Well, let's break it down like this, if I may. I mean, I know for myself, like, it is very questionable whether I'm going to be around for July and August as well. I mean, I don't know what everybody else's schedules are. But I mean, if we, you know, I think we need to start off there. Is there the availability? Are people going to be around certainly enough to have a quorum? I mean, I think that kind of needs to be decided now before we start putting meetings on the books. That's just my take on it.
First of all, since there's nothing formally scheduled, we can have these as special meetings. So okay. We have to just be very sure of what the topic is, and then they could be on a date that's convenient to the most people. And our quorum is 4.
But we're early enough now where we could schedule them as a regular meeting too. I think you just need 30 days.
I'll have to check.
Oh, when is the third Thursday of July? If we get them.
Let's see. So today's the 15th, so it's probably the 16th or something like that.
20th. I will be getting back on the 20th. And the August one would be the 18th, the 17th.
And again, they don't need to be on those dates. And they don't need to be on a Thursday.
And would we want full reports? Would we want town and school reports just to see what's coming in? Or is this, are we going to leave this as more of special meeting and informative? What I guess, what do we want to accomplish here? What's the goal?
Yeah. When I was talking to Jill about it, I mentioned this to her, and I was thinking that this would be more of putting together, you know, our transition package, and also addressing the fact that, you know, we have a general feeling that the way we're doing things now is not sustainable, and that has to be addressed too. So, I mean, I think that's what I think the focus would be on, is like the handoff package to the finance committee and recommendations on, you know, sustainability. And we ideally, it would be nice to have a quorum so the meeting's official, but if we didn't, we could still have discussions, but we couldn't make any decisions, and the discussion would be recorded publicly. Public could attend. It's just that we wouldn't be able to make any formal motions or recommendations, but we could certainly have items for future consideration when we could make that recommendation.
So it does look like we will still have a November meeting, because the November meeting is the 16th, and I think the newly sworn in people will take office on the 20th, if that changes anything. So we'll have September, we definitely will have September, October, November.
I'll have to check. We'll have at least the two.
When did the boards give us their end of fiscal year 23 reports? Usually September.
Yeah, that's what they've been doing. And typically, I mean, it's new the first 2 months of the budget. It's nothing really to worry about unless something significant comes up.
And when do we usually approve the audit report?
That's the thing. We didn't approve the audit report.
We're supposed to.
That was my big question. Jim ended up approving it.
Oh, it says in the charter we're supposed to.
I would accept that.
Or maybe I didn't read the old charter. I'm reading a new charter.
And nobody is quite sure of which one still applies and when, just because we're still under.
Yeah.
So
I think there's also a lot of work to do to address what's in the current auditor's report. So that could be
some other things to add in for transition. So then let's get back to what, you know, Kristen was suggesting too about when, because it's not, what I'm hearing is interest in meeting, and then it sounds like when, to see how that interest plays out with what we actually can do. So I have no specific travels yet planned for either July or August, and I'm not planning to plan maybe a 3-day trip at some point midweek.
We're not allowed to do doodle polls, are we?
Hmm?
We can't do doodle polls, can we?
A
doodle poll? To like figure out what everybody's doing?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, a Google poll.
Doodle, I was, yeah.
Or doodle, whatever.
Doodle. To see when everybody's available.
I still have
TikTok.
Then I'm on paper.
So why don't we just pick a day? So who's available on July 30th, just on July 20th rather, because that's when the next meeting would be if we were doing it. Charlie, you available?
I don't think I have anything in towards the end of July.
And then we can celebrate the anniversary of the first person on the moon same day. So July 20. And same time, 7:15. And the purpose is specifically transition planning and planning. And that would also include discussions on sustainability. So I'll just put that as like definition. That would be continuing discussions on sustainability, and then items of importance to be specifically handed off to the new finance committee, and that way that could either be a regular meeting, or it sounds like it's more like it's going to be a special meeting anyway, because it's going to be limited to those topics as opposed to having the town and Board of Education come in. Okay, so let's just see, what about August? We'll have the same agenda for both. And again, I don't know if having a quorum is critical, because if this is more discussion and pulling ideas together, we could then also, firm them up in September.
I will do my best to attend these meetings, but I'm very, very up in the air. So don't rely on me if you do need a quorum.
Yeah. And again, I don't think we need one for what we want to do, because it's really,
I don't think so either. Yeah.
Compiling listings and points of interest, and then any formal recommendations we could make motions on in September or October.
And so in that case, Ross, just to make sure I'm minding my P's and Q's, would it be okay to email, or should I still go through Jill if I'm unable to attend with thoughts and suggestions?
Technically, you should go through Jill.
Okay.
Or I'll have to just double check on that, because what we really need to avoid is the appearance of that you're doing a meeting that really isn't a meeting.
Right.
And so if we have four or more people sending emails back and forth, you're having a meeting that you shouldn't be.
Right. Okay.
So I could imagine that if you sent a note to Jill and copied me on it, then that would be fine.
Okay.
Because Amanda has done, and I have done some similar things, and it's, purely to catch up on a few things, like on that presentation that she put together and some things at the last minute. And that, I think, does not fall within your having a meeting, because we didn't make any decisions and it was just making sure we have the latest information plugged in type of thing. So I think that would be fine. So okay. I would say, if you guys have suggestions, send them to Jill, copy me, and then I can compile them. So it won't be more work for Jill, but then Jill is also aware of them.
Okay.
We haven't picked one, so let's keep on with the August one. So it looks like it would be the 17th. I already have time allocated for it on my calendar, because I just did the whole year without bothering to take out July and August. Charlie, you look sort of like you're free or no?
Impossible.
Ashley, is that yes, you're free, or yes, you're not?
I think I'm free.
Amanda?
Yeah, I haven't put in any applications yet.
Well, don't let this meeting stop you. It's a special meeting. It's gonna. We could always move it, you know, within reason. I don't want to like jerk people around the public who are have, you know, because they have to be able to attend these two. Mm-hmm. And if you change them at the last minute, it affects their ability to do so. So then when do we do Thursday again? August 17th. Same time, same place. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you want, we could either do some discussion now or we could just start sending them in. Yeah. I would just as soon wrap it up tonight. If...
Just as a FYI, if we're taking our own notes, right, we're obligated to file our votes within 48 hours.
Correct.
And
they have
minutes
to.
Within a week.
Yes.
So it's tough to be timely.
Thank you. I was going to bring that up. The minutes are the key part. But if we don't make anything that needs to be voted on, then you have the week. And it sounds like for the purpose of what we're doing too, it wouldn't matter that we don't do any, I don't think we're going to have any motions. And I think it would also be good to include the public, as we have been with everything else, even the special meetings, so they have on their public, you know, input and comment. And if you guys think of any, you know, see the public while you're out there, invite them to come to these, because I would like their, you know, input. It's not going to be a public hearing or anything, but it would be good to have people who are interested sit in on this, because I think we need to let all the voters know that we take seriously, like you were saying at the last meeting, Ashley, that even though some people voted yes, this may not, I don't think they were 100% happy. And the other thing to consider too is, yes, the schools are a selling point, but at what mill rate do they stop becoming a selling point? Because I can go to a nearby town that has a lower mill rate, and the schools may not be quite as good as Bolton, but money talks. So, you know, again, it's just like, and that also touches on what does Bolton want to be? And how do we want to, you know, pay for that? So it's nothing we're going to decide on so much as make out some things that people haven't talked about in the finance committee in the past and just get it out there on the agenda. Because I think it's a really good thing to have these conversations and do things a little bit more proactively, which I appreciate you guys participating in, because it makes this a lot more interesting and makes it more relevant to all our own lives, plus everybody else in town too. So I will then, so again, as I said, if you guys have any ideas for the sustainability on handoff items, sounds like you all have some ideas already. Write them down, send them to Jill, copy me, I'll throw them in an Excel spreadsheet and we will have them to talk about. I will also talk to Sue Ellen and Kathy about getting these two meetings on the calendar so that people are not surprised and, you know, people have time to get here to participate. And then we also will have a good product to hand off, work product to hand off to our successors. Some of whom may be some of us and some of whom may not. All right. And would you send me that invitation again, Amanda, that you had mentioned?
Oh, that one.
Yeah, just so that it shows up. Okay, I will entertain a motion to adjourn. So then second, we're adjourned at 8:29. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You too.